is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. This March, our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are offering $2,000 off the Dr. Dish All-Star, Rebel, and CT Plus. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT Plus models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details.
Hi, this is Ben Stelzer, men's basketball assistant coach at Michigan Tech, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klensing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And we are coming off what you dubbed a not-so-bad Cavaliers loss, whereas I called it a pretty terrible loss. So we're going to argue about that at some point. Win shares?
Well, it's the Hawks. Let's argue now. Let's get it out
okay,
of the way,
Mike. Let's go for it.
So here's my argument. Okay. It's not on paper, it's not a good loss because we should be one game out, okay? If Allen and Okoro play tonight, we win that game, right?
You'd have to think so.
I mean, like, but the fact that they weren't playing, and you got Diakite, I don't know how many minutes he ended up playing. Hold on, let me pull up the stat sheet here. You got Diakite playing 12 minutes and 40 seconds. You got Osman, for some reason, only played 12 minutes. You got Rubio, I mean, there was only 11 players dressed tonight, or 10 players dressed tonight. Jared Allen was dressed but wasn't playing because they needed him to dress to meet some kind of requirement, I think. But Robin Lopez clearly wasn't playing at all. Okoro didn't play. Allen didn't play. You got Danny Green, who I'm starting to question why the heck do we even sign the guy? And he hasn't seen the floor at all. Maybe he doesn't deserve a spot on the floor, but I don't know. Like, he was sick. And then we got Dean Wade, who is always injured, and he's sick. And then
where's Wendler?
He's probably playing the Charge. They're in the playoffs, man. He played the other day.
He did. That. I don't know how much money that man has made in his career, but kudos to Dylan Wendler. It seems like he's been on the cash for like 15 years. I know it's only been four, maybe three. How many years has it been?
But I want to say I've can now officially say, Mike, that I've seen more Bronny James play live basketball than I have Dylan Wendler this season.
That's probably about right.
Because I'm watching the All-American game right now.
Okay.
In the background here.
Nice.
And he's played more minutes than Bronny James. So.
All right. Can I tell you why this is a terrible loss?
Go ahead. Tell me why it's a terrible loss, even though.
Okay.
Oh!
So let's.
Sorry.
You all right?
Oh, Bronny just hit a three to take the lead with a minute left.
There you go. All right. So you have the Philadelphia 76ers currently have 26 losses. The Cleveland Cavaliers, after tonight's loss, currently have 29 losses. So let's go through and just look at. I know we did this last week, but now with whatever's going on with. We've had Harden sitting out games with injuries. We've had Embiid sitting out what was arguably his most important individual game of the season. Maybe not an important game necessarily for the Sixers themselves, but certainly for the MVP race. I think him sitting out the Denver game tells you a lot about what's wrong with the NBA right now. I think that it's clear that there's a problem here, and I don't know how you solve it, and there's probably really no good answer to this load management piece, but the fact that Embiid sat out what was arguably going to be one of the most anticipated probably regular season games of the year, it's just that's not a good look. All right, Cavs schedule. So let's figure out how many losses the Cleveland Cavaliers have left.
One.
In their schedule.
Maybe.
All right, so let's go through and let's try to realistically think. If the Cavs are trying to win these games, now I don't know if they're trying to win these games. At home against the Knicks, playoff opponent.
Probably who they're playing in the first round. You got to win this game.
Two full days off to prepare. You got to win that game. Indiana is in complete tank mode. I don't think they're playing any of their guys right now. So you got to win those games. Orlando is still competing. So maybe you can say that you lose one of the Orlando games, but you should win those games, right? You should beat Orlando twice.
Where do they play in Orlando? Let's see. When do they play in Orlando?
Tuesday and Thursday of next week.
Oh, man, I'm going to miss them by a day. I could have convinced the wife to go on Friday. Probably. Well, yeah,
luck,
right.
Good luck. I looked at going to Magic game when I was down there with Cal in the Lakers actually were in town, maybe.
It was a ridiculous price ticket, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't just the Lakers. You could look at any game. Like every Magic game that I saw, was tickets were over $100.
Is that why the Magic can never have a full arena?
Maybe. I don't know, but let's put it this way. I wouldn't pay $100 to go watch the Orlando Magic play basketball.
Oh, sorry. That was an aside. Anyway, I missed them by a day. I'm going to get to Orlando Friday, so nuts. All right,
I'm saying the Cavs are going 5-0.
The rest of the way.
And they should have won tonight. They should not have punted this game. You should have won this game.
They punted it, right? They had to have punted. I mean, there's no way if this is a playoff game that those two are sitting.
No, absolutely not.
Like, so why wouldn't you punt a game that doesn't matter theoretically?
I would not have punted this game, but whatever. None of this makes sense. Anyway, they shouldn't have lost tonight, but I think they're going 5-0 the rest of the way. So let's say that. Okay, so that puts the Cavaliers, if they go 5-0 the rest of the way, that puts them at 53-29. Okay, 53-29. Let's look at the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, there's a little bit of a contrast, and again, I know we talked about this last week, but in light of the potential injuries and just what's happening and the stakes that all these other teams are playing, let's take a look at what Philly realistically has. So they've lost 3 in a row. Now they're home for Dallas. Dallas, desperate team. I don't expect them to beat Philadelphia, but you never know. If Embiid is seriously hurt or out, definitely possible. Toronto. Toronto's been playing much, much better. Certainly a game that they could lose. At Milwaukee, a game that Milwaukee's going to want to win. I think they'd probably lose that one. Plus, that's a Giannis Embiid MVP game. I think you win that game. Versus Boston, certainly a game they could lose. Miami's going to be fighting for playoff position. Atlanta, Brooklyn. I think there's potentially in there. I mean, they have 7 games left. I think they could easily lose 3 of them, if not 4.
So we have to go undefeated if they lose. But if they were losing 3,
they have to lose. They have to lose 4. They have to lose
and
4.
We have to go because
they have the tiebreaker.
Yep.
Which is why I think if you had won tonight, and they only had to lose 3. To me, I think that feels pretty likely with that schedule and with the sort of nagging injuries that are probably going to have Embiid and Harden sitting out multiple games. So that's why I'm disappointed they lost tonight. I just think it would have been nice to get up into that 3 spot. Although when you look at who you're going to play, I mean, I think the team you want to play out of the Miami, New York, Brooklyn, which is who's going to fall in the 5, 6, 7, probably in some order, I'm guessing. Although, if Brooklyn's in the play-in, I'm not sure Brooklyn gets out of the play-in. I would guess that even if Brooklyn finishes 7th, I think there's a decent chance that they probably get knocked out, which we can talk about. But I think you'd probably most want to play Brooklyn. We talked about this last week as well, that you'd probably rank it Brooklyn 1, the Knicks 2, probably Miami 3 in terms of teams you might not want to see. But I think, look, I've said it before, for some reason the Cavs don't play well against Atlanta. It seems like Atlanta always brings their best against us. I would not be excited to see Atlanta in a 7-game series, and I would honestly not like to see Toronto. I'd probably rather play Miami, the Knicks, or Brooklyn than play Toronto or Atlanta. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with Miami, quite frankly. I'll take any other team. I just give me any other team but Miami. That's my rule.
I think I'd rather see the Heat than Atlanta or Toronto. I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like those two teams always play well against us. And it just doesn't seem like we have the right answers to their personnel. And I'm not as worried about Miami. I don't know why.
I just don't. Heat culture, baby.
Okay. And I'm not as worried about the Knicks. Honestly, because we have home court advantage, I think that the Cavs have got to be able to advance out of the first round. But that series, whoever they play, is not going to be an easy one. The only series out of that group that would be easy, I think, is Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I think you'd beat Brooklyn in 5 or 6 pretty easily. Whereas I think any of those other series, you could make a compelling case that the Cavs could lose any of those series if they don't play at their best.
All right. Are we done arguing about this?
Can we talk about the egregious call on Evan Mobley?
You mean the foul that the foul that they called that he clearly didn't even take his space? The DeJounte Murray was like friggin'
okay. Here's what
45 degree angle. I saw a picture, Mike. I saw a picture of him. I think that's gonna hold on. I'm gonna think that's gonna put the be the picture for our podcast episode.
I like
tonight.
It. Yeah, hold send on. That to
I'm,
me.
I'm gonna send it to you. Right. I'm gonna find it. I saw someone post it.
All he's right. While like you're finding it, 45. While you're angle. Finding it, the thing that cracked me up is that DeJounte Murray is shooting a 3, correct?
Yeah.
Which means that when he takes off, his feet are behind the 3-point line. When he made contact with Evan Mobley, he seriously is like 4 feet in front of the 3-point line. So how are you supposed to close out to a guy when the guy jumps 4 feet forward and then it makes no sense. I would love to hear like the actual logic and explanation for that. Same way I'd like to hear the logic and explanation for the Embiid charge on Mobley a week and a half ago.
There you go. To me, those calls were completely... I sent you the picture, Mike. I sent you the picture.
Those calls were so completely... I mean... Yeah, I mean, it's just how... yeah, that's a perfect... Mobley's completely straight up and down, and Murray is 3 feet inside the three-point line where he had to have taken off behind the three-point line because he got 3 free throws. I just don't know how logically, if you're an official, what are you looking at when you're watching that? I don't understand in any way, shape, or form how you can say one guy took off. We know where his takeoff point is. It's behind the 3-point line because we're awarding him 3 free throws. The contact was made 3 or 4 feet inside the 3-point line. How possibly can that be the defender encroaching upon the offensive player's space? I understand the intent of that rule, but to be honest with you, I hate that rule. I think it's a terrible rule, and I know that you're trying to avoid the Zaza Pachulia, Kawhi Leonard injury situation, but that's a complete overreaction. To me, the call, every one of these calls that I've seen, I always feel like the defender, how are you supposed to defend? It's hard enough to guard these guys as it is, and now you can't even close out hard on them, especially when they're all jumping forward. That call is ridiculous.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know what they gotta fix that or something. Whether they're gonna be able to, I don't know. And I think they need to revisit the spirit of the rule.
How about the spirit of the rule? We just eliminate the rule. It's a bad rule. There's enough things built in that favor the offense. This is one that I don't think needs to be in the rule book. I think you could get rid of it completely. I'm not a big fan.
It all stems from the one play.
It was the Zaza,
right?
Kawhi Zaza play. It was the Zaza Kawhi play in the Western Conference finals or semifinals. Must have been, I think it might have been the finals. And that was in, was that in 17 maybe? I think it might have been 2017. Yeah. Might have been the first. It was either the first or the second Durant year. I can't remember. But yeah, that was terrible. I just, that rule is bad. It's got to go.
All right, now we spent 13 minutes on that. Let's talk win shares, Mike.
All right,
for the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, Dominique Wilkins.
It's on you, Atlanta Hawks. Number two.
Number two. Lou Hudson.
Lou Hudson. It's number 4.
All right. Let's see. Kevin Willis.
Kevin Willis is number 10.
10. Tree Rotlands.
He is number 7.
Okay. Trying to think of guys who have played long enough for the Atlanta Hawks. Man. Joe Johnson.
Not on the list.
Not on the list at all.
Not
really
on the list. Oh, and just I'm going to put this out here, Mike. It does include the St. Louis Hawks and the Milwaukee Hawks.
Bob Pettit.
Bob Pettit's number 1.
There, so I have one.
Need a little help.
I have 1, 2, and 4. I should have known that, but 1, 2, and 4 is what I have.
As soon as I said that, that kicked you into it.
That kicked me in.
Current NBA player. There's one current NBA player that is in the top 5. He's the only one in the top 12.
I'm assuming he's not then on the Hawks at this time.
That is accurate.
He's not on the Hawks.
That is accurate. His sister had beef with the city of Cleveland.
His sister had beef with the city of Cleveland. Is this a pop culture reference?
No.
No?
Not a pop culture reference.
His sister had
beef.
It was a tweet. It's a Twitter beef?
It was a tweet. When LeBron was on the team.
I'm sure as soon as you tell me, I'm gonna know what that is, but it's not helping me off the top. Let me think. Atlanta
Hawks.
He was on the
Hawks team that all 5 players went to the
All-Star game.
Yeah.
So that was, well, Millsap's not in the league, is he?
No.
It's not Millsap.
Who was the center in that group?
Who was the center in that group? Why am I drawing a blank?
He's on the Celtics currently.
Oh, Al Horford. Yeah, good call.
Number 5.
And Joe Johnson's not on the list at all?
Nope, Al Horford's number 5.
Wow, that's surprising. I guess I think about those two guys together. So I'm missing what, number 3?
Number 3 here. Let me see if I can get
give me a position. Give me a position. Give me a position.
Position. Let's see. He's inducted in the Hall of Fame. He played in the ABA. Small forward. He's right-handed. He's a white guy. Played for Kentucky. He was drafted in 1953.
All right, I got nothing.
Cliff Hagan.
Cliff Hagan. All right, I know the name, but yeah, that was not one that was on the tip of my tongue. Let's put it that way.
Okay, all right.
Is Doc Rivers on that list?
He is number 11.
Okay.
Former Cavaliers coach. And Atlanta Hawk coach. Oh, come on, Mike. Come on.
Cavaliers coach and...
a Hawk coach. Mike. Lenny Wilkins is number 12.
Lenny Wilkins. All right, I don't think of him as being a Hawk, but okay.
Okay, number 6 is a guy I've never heard of, John Drew.
John Drew, all right. Yeah, he was kind of
okay.
Played in, like, I think he played in the 80s.
Number 8 is a guy that I just loved saying his name when he was playing in the league. Out of his college, was Midland College in Oklahoma. He was drafted by the New Jersey Nets in the 1989 draft. His nickname was The Thief.
Mookie Blaylock. Oh, I should have known Mookie. Yeah. I should have got Mookie. Yeah, that's one I should have had.
And then number 9 is Zelmo.
Zelmo Beatty. There you go.
There you go.
Zelmo Beatty. Old school. Old timer. All right. Well, I got 3 out of 5, right? I had 3 out of 5. Or did I have 4 out of 5?
Theoretically, you got the Horford, but.
Yeah, but not really.
Not really.
Not really.
So, yeah. So, you know, I don't know. Next week, Mike, I'm going to I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I've done the Warriors yet. I don't think we've done the Warriors.
Probably not.
So I got to do the Warriors and we'll see. We'll go from there, but maybe we'll see. I got to figure it out. I'll see if we've done the Warriors or not. I think if I looked at the list, I would know that. Anyways, so that was our Atlanta Hawk win shares. Congrats to Bob Pettit.
Still at the top. Still at the top for a franchise 50 years after he retired.
Yeah, I definitely have not done the Warriors. So I think that maybe that'll be where we go next week. So, all right. Anyways, so Mike sent me a text with a picture from the beginning of the year when we sat here and we said, we put them into categories, Mike. We put them in categories. And we're going to talk through these categories as they currently stand. We're going to start with, I guess we'll start with the top. Does that make the most sense?
Yeah, let's start at the top and go to the bottom. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So at the top, the category, let's just remind the listeners what the categories were. We had We Can Win, We Think So, Conference Finals, Host a Play-In Game, We're Not Tanking Yet, and Wemby. Now, when I look at this list, and I look at We Can Win, the five teams that we had, the Bucks.
Let's go through them one by one. Let's just go through them one by one.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, I think four of the five are possibilities, but I feel like really only three of the five are right now, like, for sures, right? Would you agree with that before we go through it?
Yeah, I think if we were doing this category today, I would think that you would have only three teams in this category if we were doing it today.
So that would be the Bucks?
Correct.
The Celtics?
Correct.
And the Nuggets?
Correct.
Okay. I agree.
I don't think the Warriors, I've been on this for a while. I don't think the Warriors can win the title. I don't think they can win it.
Yeah. I'm still not saying, though, but, I mean, they're losing by 17 tonight to the Pelicans. They haven't looked great. And they're at home tonight, too. But the thing is this, with those other three teams, like, there's flaws for sure. The Celtics lately have been not playing well. They got smoked by the Wizards tonight, and all their guys are playing. They've shown signs of – they had a stretch where they weren't playing good. Then all of a sudden it looked like they were maybe going to catch up to the Bucks again. And now losing tonight, I think that maybe kills that thought. So I don't know. I don't think – I think the Bucks, Celtics, and Nuggets are the only three teams that are like – I don't want to say legit because I think there's other teams that could sneak in depending on how things break. But – the way things are looking, those are the three best teams in the NBA right now. And we'll just have to see how the rest shake out.
The Bucks clearly have to be there. I think the Celtics are a little bit dicier based on the way they played. But I think that were they to come out of the East and somehow beat Milwaukee, I think they would be the favorite over whoever's in the West. And I think you have to put the Nuggets in there because I think that they've really been the only team in the Western Conference other than that blip they had a week ago that has been consistently good from beginning to end. And as you said, the teams all have flaws. I think Milwaukee is probably the most complete team, but I just don't see anybody else. We originally had the Warriors, which we've been over their case. I think if we were putting them in a category, I would probably put them in the We Think So category, right? Because I think they probably still think that they can win the title, and there's a lot of people that think they do. So I would probably just bump them down one category. And then the Clippers, I think you're at the point where if they had Paul George, you could maybe put them in the We Think So camp, but I would probably bump them all the way down to the conference final group if we were doing it right now today. Because Paul George, I find it hard to believe that with that knee injury that he has and as bad as that thing looked, that he's going to be racked, ready to go full strength by the time the playoffs roll around. So I think that the Clippers' ceiling is obviously much lower without Paul George, so I would bump them down to the conference final, the third tier in our ranking system.
Okay. So then, I guess, any other teams that we want to talk about in that
that group, Mike, or are we moving on to the next
group? No, let's move on.
We think so. The Nets, that group's getting moved all the way down to host a play-in game. The Heat, the Sixers, the Grizzlies, the Mavs also getting moved down, and the Suns. So in this group, I think personally, the Sixers, I could see a world that the Sixers somehow sneak into the Eastern Conference. I'm not saying I feel good about it. I could see a world. I could see a world that the Grizzlies win the Western Conference. I think they're probably the second best team in the West if Ja keeps his head on straight. Also, the Suns, I could see a world that the Suns sneak in to the Western Conference Finals. Heck, I could see a world that they make it if Durant's healthy, but I'm not saying that I feel good about it because who knows? He literally fell in a warm-up and got injured. So the Mavs, no. They are terrible. Luka looks like he's lost every joy of anything about basketball. Everything that I loved about him, he looks so disenfranchised with the whole world right now. As you called it yesterday, he's got the Kyrie stink on him.
He does.
The Nets are terrible. I mean, they're not terrible. The Nets are a good team that doesn't have a superstar. Honestly, Mike, this might be crazy that I'm about to say this, but if the Nets were in the Western Conference, I would feel better about their chances to make it out of the first round, because the Western Conference is a disaster, right? Do you agree with that statement?
If you threw Brooklyn into one of the spots 4 through 10 in the Western Conference, you could make an argument that they could get through to the conference semis for sure. They could win a first round series in the West. I don't think they'd win a second round series, but they could win a first round series in the West.
Okay. And then was there another team in this group? The Heat? I mean, is there a world that the Heat, you don't think so? Okay.
No, I think the reality is you probably are bumping the Heat down at least one to the conference finals group. Maybe we need to rename that category, but I think I would bump them down to conference finals. Or the reality is they're probably likely to host a playing game at this point. So we could maybe even scoot them down there, but I'd probably only bump them down one.
Okay. That's fine with me. Anything on those other teams that I mentioned? What do you want to say about the Sixers? I know how much you love talking about the Sixers. So,
well, my Sixers thing, I mean, I said it off the top. The fact that Embiid sat out what was probably his most important regular season game as an individual, and I don't know if that's at the behest of the team, if that's him, if he's been dragging that calf or whatever he has going on. But if you went on to win the MVP, you got to play in that game, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't see how you give it to him. And look, we've been over the Sixers' flaws forever. And you said you could see the Sixers winning the Eastern Conference. And I think you could see the theoretical best version of the Philadelphia 76ers. You could probably make a case that that team could win an NBA title. But I have no faith in the fact that you're going to get the best theoretical version of those Philadelphia 76ers. Embiid's not going to be able to play 2 straight months, 40 minutes a night, every other night, and not have some type of injury or something or illness. It's just not going to happen. He hasn't proven that he can do it at a high level. I don't think he's in good enough condition to do it for that long at that level, being the guy carrying the load that he's going to have to carry. And I don't have to go after James Harden's track record. We've been over it a million times. If you're counting on that guy to come through in a big moment when you need him, good luck. It's not going to happen. And if you're going to get to the finals and win it, you're going to need him to come through not just in one clutch situation, but you're going to need him to come through in multiple clutch situations. And if you're willing to bet on that, then you are crazy. So I would keep the Sixers here because I guess we could theoretically see it, but the reality is it's not happening for Philly. The Nets, we moved them out clearly because they're a totally different team than when we evaluated them in the preseason, so that goes without saying. The Mavs, look, you said it really well. Luka just seems like he's fed up with the entire situation, doesn't look happy. And Kyrie, look, they've been worse since he got there, not necessarily because of what he's done or hasn't done, but removing Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie, who are two important players for the Mavericks, clearly has hampered them. I just think it's a poorly constructed team. Jason Kidd seems like he's fallen off the cliff as a coach compared to what he was doing last year. And so you look at the Mavs and you just say, what do they do? I mean, right now they're sitting out of the play-in. They owe their pick to the New York Knicks if it falls outside the top 10, which theoretically, if they finish right outside the play-in, that pick could be a pick that then goes to New York. I guess the positive for them would be that would then end their obligation from the Porzingis trade, and that would open up all their picks to be able to be traded this summer, or maybe they could go after somebody. But again, who's out there right now? There's not really anybody on the horizon that appears to be somebody that would make a difference, or at least a meaningful difference to the Mavericks. I think Mark Cuban and Dallas are in a tough, tough spot where they just haven't built the right team. They don't have the right guys in place around Luka, and they don't really have a path to be able to improve them unless something were to happen and some superstar were to shake free and maybe they could somehow trade what they have for that guy. But I just don't see the path for Dallas to be able to get where they need to go. And that clock is going to start ticking awful loud on Luka wanting to get out of Dallas. I mean, it's going to start ticking really, really loud. And I don't know what Dallas does. I mean, there's not a very good pathway. If you re-sign Kyrie, you might as well wave Luka goodbye. If you let Kyrie walk after what you traded out the door for him, that seems like a disaster. So their only real option is, can you sign and trade him? And then you're looking at, well, what's the value of Kyrie around the league? And why would teams want to help Dallas out and take on Kyrie Irving? At this point, how would you talk yourself into Kyrie Irving if you're any other team? I just don't know what you'd be looking at and saying, yeah, we need this guy in our building on our team. I mean, there's no history of him ever winning, certainly not on his own as the top dog, but even if you're bringing him in to be the second banana, I mean, what he did at the end of his tenure in Cleveland and then with Boston and then New Jersey / Brooklyn and now with the Mavs, look, if you want to trade for him, good luck, but I don't see it happening. So the Mavs are in trouble. Now, I think they'll probably still make it, but not good. And then you had the Luka technical situation. Wouldn't you have just let him serve the suspension?
I mean,
because now if he gets one in the play, now if he gets one in a playing game, he could theoretically, if they're number 9 or 10, he could theoretically be suspended for the second playing game. The next one, he's getting a suspension. I would have had him serve it against Indiana, who was sitting Halliburton and Heald and Miles Turner, and hope you can win that game without him. And then I think it's two more technicals before he got suspended again. I think he'd have to get to 18. So at least you'd have that grace period. Now he's one T away from getting suspended against what could be a better team and a more important situation. So I would have just let that technical ride.
So after that 16th technical and they served it a suspension, I think every other one. Okay.
I think that's my understanding. I just would have served it out at that point.
But I think the NBA rescinded it.
I got to believe there was some lobbying. You think there was no lobbying?
I mean, I don't know that either way.
I don't know. I just would have figured out a way. I would have just served it at that point, but whatever. I guess it doesn't really matter. Other teams in this category, the Grizzlies, I think you're right. You said it, second best team in the West. I think that's probably true. What they did without Ja, they're a tough physical team, and they're a team that, look, I still think that missing Steven Adams and losing Brandon Clark with the Achilles injury is going to hamper them in their ability to get to the finals, but they're a team that They have an edge, obviously, with Dylan Brooks, and they're a physical team. They're young, and I don't think they're going to be – that will not be an easy series. If it's them and Denver in the Western Conference Finals, that would be a series that I don't think you'd look at it and say, oh, Denver's going to cruise to that win, especially if Ja is back to close to normal, which it appears like he's probably will be by the time that series would roll around, you'd have to think. So
yeah.
In Phoenix, if KD comes back, clearly they're a threat. I mean, I don't think they're a favorite. I don't think they're in the weak and win category, but they're certainly a threat to get to the finals. Miami, we already talked about, I'm going to bump them down. I don't think they can legitimately get to a conference finals, and that's all the teams in that area.
All right. The conference finals, Mike.
Okay.
Category. There's only one team that I think can get in the conference finals. I mean, could we
move the Cavs up?
I don't want to doom us. I want just to stick us in the conference finals and all see right. what happens.
That's fair. Okay.
They would be the only team I would consider moving up, because the other four teams, I don't even know that I consider them legit conference finals people. Like,
I think you move all these other teams down.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so we're moving them down. We're moving the Kings up.
I think you got to move the Kings up to the conference finals.
And I think we got to move the Knicks up. Right? I mean, that's their ceiling, theoretically. I mean, they have to beat the Cavs, but I mean, if they beat the Cavs, would you be so super surprised if they came and if they played
yes,
Philly?
Yes, I would be super. Yeah, I would be super surprised.
Well, I guess no, because they're gonna have to play Milwaukee. Never mind. Yeah, they're not beating Milwaukee.
Let's keep them. I mean, I don't think host a play-in is not necessarily maybe the right category for them. Their ceiling to me is beat the Cavs and then it's done.
One round win.
Yeah. But in the spirit of the game, I'm going to keep them in the host of play-in because I don't think they're good enough to make the conference finals.
Okay. But so they're not going to be in the play-in game either. But
no, they're not going to be in the play-in game. But they're in the netherworld between the conference finals and host of play-in game.
Okay, they're in the purgatory.
They're floating. They're floating in between tiers. All right, so we have the Cavs in the conference finals, and you got Raptors, Hawks, Wolves, Pelicans.
Okay.
Which of those teams do you like the most in their chances to advance and win a round in the playoffs?
The Cavs. Or,
no, I mean, forget the Cavs. We're moving them, or we're keeping them there. I'm saying once we bump the Raptors, Hawks, Wolves, Pelicans, we obviously thought more highly, or at least one of us thought more highly of some of those teams. So which of those teams do you think legitimately can win a first-round series?
I mean, would I be surprised if the Wolves won a first-round series? If everyone's healthy, the way they've been playing, would I be surprised? Probably not. Do I feel
right
good
now,
about
it? Right now, be Minnesota, Sacramento.
I mean, one of those teams has to win. Like, there you go.
Right.
I mean, listen, I'm pulling for the Sacramento Kings. I just have something I want to root for them. If you would have asked me, like, 3 months ago, I would have said I probably was rooting for the Grizzlies, but I can't stand that franchise. I'm not going to root for the Warriors. I know you're rooting for the Nuggets. I honestly, the only team in the West that I really like is the Kings at this point.
Okay, like, that's fair.
I mean, do I want the Lakers to somehow do well? I, of course, because I like LeBron. Whether, you know, but I don't even know what their situation's going to be like or where they're going to end up, quite frankly. So I think the Kings are the team that I'm rooting for. So that's my answer. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going with the Homer answer.
All right. So we're putting the Kings up there in the conference finals category, right? So we have the Cavs and Kings. So I think probably you're right about Minnesota is the team that I would say is most likely of those four to win a first-round series, because on the eastern side of it, you're looking at the Raptors and the Hawks are both going to be in the play-in, which means they're going to get...
They might not even make it out.
Right. They might not even make it out, but they're also going to get Milwaukee or Boston in the first round. And I'm sorry that neither of those teams is beating Milwaukee or Boston in a series. Now, maybe if they got Philly or they got the Cavs, I could see it. Certainly if they got the Cavs, I could see it. But I don't think they're beating Milwaukee or Boston. And then the Pelicans, who have run off what I believe will now be, well, they're only up 11 with
They're getting outscored 15-8 in the quarter so far, Mike. I've got it in the background.
They've won five in a row, but I don't think they're probably primed to win.
Come on, say it, Mike. You want to say it.
If Zion comes back, I'm bumping him up to the we think so category. No, I'm just kidding. I'd like to believe Zion's coming back, but no, I don't think they put him back out on the floor this season. I think he probably packs it in. He tries to get his 25 games next year. How many more does he have to play? 110 or something? Doesn't he have to play like 120 games to get to 250, I think? He just needs 25 games a season for the next couple of years, and we'll get there. You can do it, Zion. I believe in you, man. I believe in you.
Listen, there's been three on-court fracases in this game, Mike. The Pelicans and the Warriors. No, not surprisingly, two of them were involving Draymond. But CJ McCollum just absolutely decked Dante DiVincenzo, who was setting a screen.
All right.
Listen, good.
I like a little nastiness with my basketball. I don't like that Donovan Mitchell misses the half-court shot, and then he's immediately hugging DeJounte Murray within seriously like half a second of that shot not going in. I could kind of do without that. I don't know how you feel about it, but
that's just the way they've been brought up.
I know,
Mike.
But do you lie? I'm not saying it's not the way that it is. I'm just saying, like, do you like that? As a fan, like, do you like to see that? Do you like to see your team lose, then immediately be like all smiles and hugging the other team?
No. Listen, Mike, I will say to the core, okay? I'm not a Draymond Green fan. However, I would love it if the Cavs had a Draymond Green on their team. I would love Draymond Green, like, right? Because that could
we could use a little bit
of chutzpah, lack of a better term, that's PG friendly. I could just use someone that just is going to go out there, talk their talk, rile them up a little bit.
The real junkyard dog necklace, right? You need somebody who really epitomizes that.
I mean, really, like, legitimately, who is the junkyard dog? Like, who is it? Is it Lamar Stevens? Is that our enforcer? Like, if Sideshow Bob's out there, is he the enforcer? Like,
I think it's Rubio.
Probably. Listen, hey, the fact that was another terrible call, by the way. How did Rubio get called for that foul?
Like, well, he kind of ran right in front of him. That one to me made a little bit more sense. It was hard to tell on the replay, like, what Rubio was doing, because at first, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, he's just running right in front of Okongwu on purpose. But then the second or third time I watched it, I'm like, it looks like maybe he was trying to go around Okongwu to go over and trap Trae Young. But that call to me at least made sense, because Okongwu was just running straight down the floor and Rubio ran right in front of him. So I didn't have much of a problem with that call. I mean, I get it. It could have gone the other way too. But that's to me more of like a judgment call of what you thought Rubio's intent was. Okay. Whereas the DeJounte Murray call is just like, look, that's not even a judgment call. That's one dude jumped 4 feet forward. And I don't know how you don't see that. That made no sense to me. The Rubio one, you could kind of judge intent and try to figure it out. I could see it going either way. But, man, the other one was terrible.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Host a playing game. We were right on two of these teams. Lakers and Bulls. Right?
Yeah, the Bulls have been playing a lot better lately.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, it's time for conspiracy theory, Jason.
Okay.
I ran this by my dad. He told me I'm crazy. So
okay.
If he's telling me I'm crazy, okay. The breadcrumbs are being laid that LeBron is going to want to come back to Cleveland. Here you go. You ready? Why has Bronny James waited this long to announce where he's going to college?
I don't know why.
Because he's going to go to Ohio State. And if Bronny James goes to Ohio State, there's no way LeBron's going to want to be living in L.A. when his son's going to be playing in Columbus half the games of the year.
But LeBron still has this next year on his contract, right?
Oh,
listen, we can work this out, Mike. We can work this out.
How are we working this out? This is what I want to hear.
A trade. There's a trade.
What's the trade?
I mean, I don't know the numbers. I don't know what it's going to happen. But if he asks out, do you really think the Lakers are going to sit here and say no? Are the Lakers going to say no? Are they in a position to say no to him?
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I just have a feeling this is what's going to happen. He's going to announce when the Lakers season's officially over, which might be in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. That's when Bronny's going to announce where he's going to college. He's going to announce he's going to Ohio State. And then all of a sudden, the whispers are going to start coming. LeBron wants to go back to Cleveland. He wants to be traded to Cleveland so he can be close to his son. He wants his other son to go to St. Vincent, St. Mary, or something ridiculous. You know what's going to happen, okay? It's going to happen if they decide Ohio State. And I just don't understand how he doesn't go to Ohio State.
Are you saying that Ohio State is the LeBron James of college teams? Just like he went to the LeBron James of feet?
Oh, yeah. that was the other thing. He's already setting the, like, listen, he looked good on Sunday when he was out there, right? Like, he clearly had a little bit of rust on him, but he wasn't the reason they lost that game on Sunday, because by the time he got on the floor, they were already down 12, right? Like, they just played bad on Sunday, and they've been playing better. But I'm just saying, Mike,
Hey, you were right the last time. I'm not going to argue.
My conspiracy theory alarm is tingling.
Okay.
Like, on this current Cavs roster, what do we have to give up to get LeBron? Like,
it's not even a matter of what you have to give up. It's a matter of, could you even match the salaries, one? I guess, well, we didn't extend LeVert, right? LeVert's and expiring.
No, yeah, so we trade him. We could sign and trade him.
I guess you could sign and trade LeVert.
Okoro.
Okay.
Would you?
Okoro can't be making that much, though. I mean, he's on his rookie deal, the fifth pick in the draft. I guess, though, if you put LeVert's probably making what? He's probably making close to 20. Okoro's probably making 7 or 8. So you're at 27 or 28. I don't know what LeBron's contract is. I forget, but.
Sam Merrill, they signed him for $3 million.
You'd have to piece together basically guys 5 through 12 on the roster and trade everybody and then just sign minimum guys for the rest of your roster, which I'm not sure the Cavs are prepared to do. I think it's more likely that scenario would take place. Again, I know, right, but I know Bronny. Is Bronny a one and done?
I think he might need 2 years in college. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, he might for his career, but if Bronny comes out after a year, teams are going to draft him, especially because, look.
LeBron wants to play with him.
Well, and it coincides with LeBron's free agency perfectly, right? So LeBron, he plays a season at Ohio State. LeBron plays a year out in L.A. with the Lakers. He becomes a free agent. Bronny's in the draft. Done. Now, could LeBron and Bronny and Clutch pull an NFL draft move and just tell teams, hey, don't pick Bronny. Hey, don't pick Bronny. Hey, don't pick Bronny. And until he gets to the Lakers in the second round.
No, I'm
so the family think... can so the family can continue to live in LA. Is that above? You think that's below LeBron? You think that's below him?
I don't know about that. But
that's what I'm saying. It's totally not below him.
So here's, I mean, pulling Eli Manning situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could see it.
All right, sorry, we went off the rails there, but I just wanted to throw that out there. I just think the breadcrumbs are being laid, Mike.
All right, so in this category,
and I just want to vote this. This is Jason Sunkel's take on Tuesday, March 28th, 11:51. If Bronny announces tomorrow where he's going to college,
all bets are off.
Shoot me to the moon.
All bets are off. You lost your $2.75 bet on FanDuel today.
I don't have FanDuel, Mike.
What do you have?
DraftKings.
DraftKings. All right, we lost it on DraftKings. Sorry. All right, so host the play-in. We had Knicks, which we moved up to the conference finals by default or sort of in the in-between purgatory. We had the Lakers and Bulls, which we properly placed them. We had the Blazers, who I think probably fall into the next category. We're not tanking yet, although the yet, they I think, are, is probably over. Probably
we're not tanking.
But they were
all season. We're not taking all season long. How about that one?
Correct. Which is what that category was supposed to mean. And then the Kings, we're bumping them up to
conference finals.
Or are we bumping up to, we think so. Is there a world that the Sacramento Kings could get to the finals?
I mean, there's a world that both the Cavs and the Kings could make to the finals, but...
Yeah, let's keep them in the conference finals. I think a lot would have to go for the Cavs and Kings. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay.
I'd like to turn my quarter into $98, though.
That would be good. I understand. You might be able to do it. All right, we're not tanking yet. So we had,
this is where we did well for the most part.
Yeah, we did. I agree. The Magic definitely falls into this category.
Yep. The Wizards
definitely fall into this category. Indy definitely falls into this category.
If Hornets were healthy, they'd fall into this category, right?
Yeah, I mean, and the Hornets are competing now here even at the end.
And I'm pretty sure we did this before Bridges had all his problems, my guess.
I don't think so. You were really high on the Hornets, if you remember.
Oh.
You had them way over. I think you had them at 50 wins. I think you had them at second in the East. You said, forget Boston. LaMelo's got this.
I don't think I had him that high. No, I wasn't as bad as my Laker take, but come
on. You only had him on the over. But no, I think Charlotte, you look at where they are, and they have 10 more wins than the Pistons. They have what? They have 26, and then you have the Spurs with 19, the Rockets with 18, Pistons with 16. So I think we can safely say that they're probably properly categorized, even though I'm not sure how much they were trying to win. I do think that they were not as blatantly tanking as the other three aforementioned teams. So the Pistons, their season and their fortunes obviously changed completely when Cade went out. And I can't remember whether or not we made this prediction before or after Cade's injury announcement. But clearly, I think the Magic, Wizards, Hornets, and Pacers belong in here. And then down at the bottom, we have the Jazz and Thunder that we have to deal with. And we have the Rockets and Spurs who are correctly placed in the Wemby category. So we have three straight out Wembys. We have the Pistons, Rockets, Spurs, and then the Thunder and the Jazz. Probably move the Jazz into we're not tanking yet, because I don't think the Jazz are going to recover from where they are right now. They've lost four in a row. I think they're going to be safely out of the play-in. And the Thunder lost tonight. Not a good loss for them to the Charlotte Hornets if they're trying to make the play-in. So I think you have to move them up into the play-in category, because I do think they're competing right now to try to get there. But they could very easily still be in the we're not tanking yet category. Maybe if Shea shuts down for the rest of the season.
I don't know. I mean, They shut them down tonight, and that didn't seem to matter. I mean, they lost, right? They lost, but they had four guys score 30 points, I think, or three guys score 30 points, and they still lost the game. But let's see, where was the stats? I saw this. Hold on. They lost to the Hornets tonight, but...
Yeah, Jalen Williams had 31. Isaiah Joe
had 33. And
Josh six, Giddey. Six threes. Giddey had 31, so...
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to put up 134, you got to have some guys scoring some points.
You got to have some guys stopping playing defense if you're going to put up 134 in regulation.
That's true, especially against Charlotte.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, not good. All right, which of these teams at the bottom? Let's start down at the bottom with the Wembys. Which team would you rather be? Let's first just look at the rosters.
If I'm Wemby, where do I want to go? I want to go to Houston because it's hot. And they have things to do. I want to go to San Antonio because they've got a good coach. I don't want to go to Utah. No offense, Utah. I don't want to go to Detroit. Heck no, do I want to go to Detroit. Sorry. Don't want to go to Detroit if I'm Wemby.
Are you just talking from a city standpoint?
I'm talking from a city and organizationally. Like,
all right, okay. Well, if you're talking organizationally, where do you want
to go? I want to go to Spurs, right?
Spurs is where you want to go. But I would also argue that if you look at the rosters, the Spurs are far and away the worst roster. Because on the Spurs, you have Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell, who are probably the two best young guys that they have. And Vassell probably has a higher ceiling than Keldon Johnson. Keldon Johnson kind of, I think, sort of is what he is, where he's probably a fourth or fifth starter maybe on a good team. Whereas I think Devin Vassell could maybe get up. I don't know if he's ever going to be a number two, but I think he could be a number three. A guy can shoot it, put it on the floor. He can play make a little bit. I like him. But that's really all San Antonio has. Whereas you look at both of those other two teams that are at the very bottom. So you take the Pistons. I think a lot of what the Pistons depends on how Cade's leg is and how serious that is. Because if Cade is back full strength and that injury isn't a lingering problem, you have Cade, you have Duren, and you have Jaden Ivey. Those are three guys who I think projecting long term, those are three guys that can be high-level NBA players and guys that can play winning basketball. And then on the Houston side of it, they've been such a mess, but I think most people still think that Jalen Green can be a high-volume scorer in the league. Jabari Smith has started to turn around a little bit. Şengün is good. They got Tari Eason. They got some other guys, role players, that I think can play well. So I think there's more talent on hand in Detroit and Houston than there is in San Antonio, but I'm not sure organizationally whether you trust the Rockets and the Pistons as much as you would trust the Spurs. Now, again, by the time Wemby's probably ready to win, Pop is most likely out the door, right?
Probably, yep.
So you have to kind of take that into consideration, in that Pop has wielded a tremendous amount of influence, not just on the floor as the head coach, but also in the front office in terms of personnel decisions. So whether or not when he goes, how that impacts the organization, hard to say. But I think you might be right that Houston might be the best spot, but man, they got a lot of work to do to get that thing going in the right direction. And whether that's Steven Silas or whether that's
I don't think Steven Silas is going to be the coach.
No, I would doubt, especially if they get Wemby, I would be fairly certain that Steven Silas is out the door. They'd bring in somebody that they thought could develop those guys and sort of instill a system. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not so sure that if Cade's healthy that the best talent isn't in Detroit. But to your point, I'm not sure that Detroit would be the number one destination where somebody would want to go.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Indy, right? Indy would be a great place for him to go.
Well, I mean, him and Haliburton together?
Mathurin. Indy would be great. If somehow Orlando was to get him, you put Paolo, Wemby, Franz, Fultz, Bol, Wendell Carter. It's a pretty good situation. Him and LaMelo in Charlotte. Theoretically, depends on how you feel about Melo. I'm not as high on LaMelo as some people, but LaMelo and Wemby would probably be fun. The Wizards, him and Kristaps, Twin Towers.
Get out of here.
The new Samson Olajuwon. No, you don't want him to go to Washington?
No, please, no.
No, I think that would probably be the worst spot. If the Thunder miss the playoffs, that'd be fun. Wemby in Oklahoma City would be fun. Shea, yeah. Chet. Giddy, Dort, Isaiah Joe, Utah, him and Markkanen.
No.
I don't want him in Utah. I think Orlando or Indy or the Thunder. Let's put him out west. I don't need to have him come east. Let's put him out west. Let's give him to the Thunder. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Sign me
done.
Up for it.
Done. Yeah. Done. All right. That concludes all the tiers.
That concludes all the tiers. We've talked theoretically about every team in the NBA. I don't know if we literally touched everyone, but pretty close.
Yep. MVP today. Who's your MVP? Give me your top three in order. How do you order them?
Giannis. Listen, I was ready to move Embiid up, but then him sitting out against Jokic, I'm out.
Yeah, come on, man. You're out. You're out on him. You gotta be. You gotta be.
I don't care. What's
the situation? Gotta play that game.
So I'm gonna go Giannis, I'm gonna go Jokic, and I'm gonna go Embiid.
I think that's the same way I would go. And I think the Giannis and Jokic is close.
Right?
Like, I mean,
who?
Who's
ahead of him? Fourth.
Luka?
No.
Tatum?
Tatum could have at the beginning of the year.
Shea? Look, Tatum might not even be the best player on his team. Tatum hasn't been the best player on his team since January 1st. Jaylen Brown's been better than him.
Yeah.
So.
Man, this Thunder-Warriors game is going to be a...
Pelicans-Warriors, you mean?
Pelicans-Warriors is going to be a great finish. They literally, the Golden State Warriors like just pressed on three straight possessions and forced three turnovers. This is the NBA.
Yep. And, hey, and they bring it back. Bring it back to Bravo Patino era.
I don't even know who Bravo Patino is. Who's that?
Rick Pitino, man. Rick Pitino. Come on.
Oh well, Bravo.
Bravo Patino. He used to have he had a restaurant in Lexington called Bravo Patino. And there was some inside joke between me and my college friend that now I can't remember exactly why we always used to say Bravo Patino. I can't remember the exact story behind it, but we always just called him Bravo Patino. So,
oh, okay. There you go.
Anyway, there it is.
All right. Anything else, Mike?
Nah, I think we hit on everything. Next week will be only a couple days away from the end of the regular season. And I was going to say the playoff matchups might be starting to crystallized, yeah, but I don't think in the Western Conference, I don't think that's true. I don't think we're going to be able to do anything.
We're going to have to figure out how we maneuver the, because like I'm going to be in Disney the whole next week. So might have to, I'm thinking, honestly, Mike, and I don't know if this is an off the air conversation to have, but like my best bet probably is Easter Sunday doing like before the playing games and like doing at night. Like when the kids are all in bed and me sneaking to the car and doing it via Zoom.
Might have to try to pull that off if we can. We'll see.
Just because,
if not, I might just do a regular Tuesday and grab a guest or who knows? Who knows what we'll do?
I could have
Meredith do it.
Meredith, is she going to be home that week?
We're doing everybody else remote. I'm sure I could get her to hop on a Zoom.
Does she watch the NBA?
She's not watching that much when she's at school, so
that's going to be your. That's going to be your. You got to get someone who's been watching the NBA.
I'll figure somebody
Coach
out.
Don?
Yeah, I'll figure somebody else. We'll get somebody on here. We'll pull somebody out of the archives.
Coach Don, Joe Harris,
maybe we'll have to see. I don't know. It could be a surprise random. So next week, surprise random guest. Tune in.
Well, not next week. I'll be here next week.
Two weeks from now.
Yeah.
So we'll figure it out. All right. On that note, we'll sort out the rest of our logistics off air. We appreciate you checking in with us tonight on the NBA, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
The first training camp, Elite Skill Development and Performance Combine, will be held on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, powered by Unleash Potential and the Hoopheads podcast. The camp is designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9 and will take place June 29th through July 1st, 2023. An emphasis on improving individual skills in the context of a team environment will be the hallmark of the training camp. Mike Klinzing from Head Start Basketball and the Hoopheads podcast and Joe Stecision from Unleashed Potential will serve as the camp directors of this inaugural training camp. Campers can expect 3 days of hard work, intense skill instruction, and learning how to be a great teammate on and off the court at the training camp. Players will participate in 10 elite skill development sessions led by some of the best coaches from across the country. Visit headstartbasketball.com to get registered.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.